Hey, this is James from StravelPunk.com. How are you guys doing today? So this will be a solo show. It'll be a fun solo show. I did not want to leave you guys without an episode for another week. I put out one Christmas week, and then New Year's week, no episode came out, and no episode was recorded, so we were missing a week. Couldn't let that happen for another week, which I deliberately took that week off. Basically, I think I explained it, maybe in a blog post, that traffic to websites and blogs basically grinds to a halt during the holidays. So putting out content pretty much goes to the grave. And that time would be better to just take off, recharge, fiddle around on the back end. I did a couple things back there. And I forgot to write it in my list, but I'll talk about it. And Serenity came and spent a week with me, so you know, I was able to actually be with her and spend that time instead of, you know, slaving over my my passion, the Survival Punk blog, podcast, YouTube channel. So with that said, Catch Tail Mike will return next week. And you guys will get a normalish show, which, you know, we're always kind of tweaking the format to see what resonates well. And so recently we removed the news from it. We used to cover two news topics. I'm sure you guys know that. And we would sometimes we would deliberately pick articles that would tweak us out, and then we'd rant and yell about it. And we would, you know, we'd generally read a good portion, if not all of the article, depending on the length. And that would suck up, you know, a lot of our show. And then when we got to the main topic, we're looking at the time and we're rushed. And then we rush to the main topic, which is kind of screwing you over. Because, you know, the episodes are always named after the main topic. So that's kind of the promise, the expectation of what you're going to get. And if you get to the episode and we spend like 5 minutes on the main topic, you know, and 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes ranting about politicians or stupid things in the news, then we didn't really feel that was a good idea. So we dropped it. We focused longer on the main topic, and then cover a couple of our other topics, you know, like the nutrition punk, where we talk about, you know, nutrition or whatnot, if we have something that week to talk about. And I personally feel that this change has increased the quality of the episodes. If there's something important that happens in the news, we will knock it out in the opening sort of banter segment, just quickly, but not focus on it. So, and I'm focusing so far just on that. So let's move on. Today's episode will be brought to you. No, there's no sponsors. Conflicted the card game. If you haven't picked up a deck, please go do so. It's fun. The last deck, Economic Collapse, is a lot different, and I really enjoyed playing it. So, Conflicted the card game. So, to the rest of the show, it's going to be a 2016 look back and a 2017 look forward. I'm not Spirico Domus. I'm not going to make predictions on what I think will happen in 2017. That's not my forte. I'm not a genius. Every once in a while I have insight and ideas and theories on what will come. And on occasion I tend to be right. Somewhere on an old podcast years ago, I said the term fit shaming, where I believed that the trend was going to be like bashing on people that were more fit, because the normality seems to be going towards obesity and acceptance of being a fat fatty. So it's sort of a weird reversal of societal norms, and we won't go down that. Although I may put out sort of an editorial piece, a rant, maybe a video on, I was thinking at work, I was like, shame is kind of the glue that keeps society together. Without shame, and I'm going out on a limb here, without shame, like, there's no reason to ever, like, for people to not just be disgusting, you know? I mean, really, your own moral code, but not everyone has your moral code. Not everyone has a good moral code. So it's sort of that societal shame factor that keeps many people from doing things that they shouldn't be doing anyway. So that's the trend of trying to remove shame from society, but it's not really removing shame. It's changing what is being shamed. So it's acceptance of things that are rather unacceptable. If you want to be a fat fatty, then by all means, go ahead. It's not going to hurt me at all. It is putting a strain on, you know, the healthcare system, because there are more health issues that come with being obese. That's not an opinion. That is fact. You know, everything from diabetes to heart disease to a whole list of things. So it's not like appearance wise, I don't care what you look like. And if you want to be fat, by all means, be fat. I don't care. So I just don't really appreciate society, like, trying to say that it's okay, to be unhealthy. You know, if you want to say, I don't care what you do, but that's fine. But saying that, you know, it's almost trying to get towards it being preferable, but that could be a whole episode. I could seriously rant about that, and we're not. So yeah, it's not going to be a prediction episode. It's not going to be a prediction episode. I will talk about things that I'm going to do, but I don't have any influence or control on what the government or the rest of society will do. So no predictions on that. Except for, I do predict Donald Trump will not follow his campaign promises. And I don't really feel that's prediction as much as what president has followed their campaign promises. Except for, was it Andrew Jackson that actually got rid of all national debt? Yeah. I don't like the banking system. I don't like central banks or debt. I'm getting rid of it. Motherfucker did it. Good job. Oh, I'm sorry. Drinking coffee. It's morning for me. Night for you. So, and just FYI, as you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on the day it was published, January the 4th, 2017, it is my 35th birthday. So, happy birthday to me. No cake today, guys. I will be eating bacon and eggs and coleslaw, which is weird, but I'm in the South. 9 minutes wasted already. Let's get into the show. All right, so as I look back to 2016, there... 2016 was a dumb year. I remember seeing memes in 2015, like, 2015, the year everyone's offended. That was nothing compared to 2016. 2016 was like the sandiest vagina year ever. Everybody was offended by everything. Come on, people. So, 2016, Donald Trump was elected president of the United States of America. Yes, let that sink in. To be honest, it was a campaign, and for a while there, I was like, when it was the primaries, I'm like, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. I wouldn't even say complete opposites, because I don't really think Donald Trump is quite the way Donald Trump says he is. You know, that was probably a lot of marketing and PR people that created that image for him to win for the audience that voted for him. But I was just like, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, like, is this really what America wants? Like, is this really like a crazy old wizard that has no idea on economics and Donald Trump, a reality TV star? Really? And then it probably got worse. It probably got worse when the Democratic Party literally screwed Bernie Sanders out of the nomination to choose Hillary Clinton, a lying ass cunt. Seriously, one. If you're a Democrat, how can you even support your party that was like, okay, so everyone I knew on Facebook, and just the general trends were all pro Bernie. There was a meme on Facebook that was like Bernie Sanders supporters on Facebook, and it was like, it was a sea of fish. And then it was like Bernie Sanders supporters at the voting booth, and it was like three people. It's like there was a weird disconnect going on there. And then when it came out that there was, you know, internal sabotage and bullshit and probably schemy, scammy, you know, dirty tricks, it made a little bit more sense. But it didn't make sense, though, at the time, for the fact that I didn't see anyone in the primaries that was pro-Clinton. Everyone was Bernie Sanders, and he got no votes. So, the election's this expensive for America to pick, like, the worst assholes in the country. And the lesser of two evil bullshit and all that, like, why can't we pick the two best people, the two greatest Americans to lead the country instead of fucking assholes? However, though, when Trump won, there was some point the next day where, like, I just kind of felt relieved. I'm like, well, I don't have to worry about stockpiling on ammo. Right now, at least, anyway. Because if Hillary Clinton had won the election, there would be no ammo on the shelves. You could not find ammo. It would be like the Sandy Hook shooting, you know, ammo shortage crisis all over again. You would not, it would be ridiculous. Not just 22 long rifle, which still hasn't recovered, and I still don't understand that. Why doesn't just market-wise, why doesn't new companies even open up, start selling 22? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But whatever. So, 2016, we elected Donald Trump. 2016, we had clowns in the woods scaring people. Yes. Yes. it was just one of those, like, just one of those weird things that happened in 2016 that viral news. I don't know if it's just like the fact that more people are online and more people are trending in the virality of things. But yeah, the whole clown bullshit that spread super quick and it was everywhere and it really wasn't anywhere, but it was. And people were like, there were some people that were arrested for dressing like clowns. I pretty much know. I haven't heard anything about clowns in a while, so thankfully that's dead and gone. I don't get bothered by clowns. As we talked about in our Clownopolypse episode, shoot them in the nose, they will die. I thought about looking it up, but then I didn't really care enough. I think Cecil the Lion was 2015. So the big bleeding heartache of 2016 was Harambe, which, no, I said that. I say everything Spanish, by the way. I took Spanish in school, and I still remember some, and that's what I use. So Harambe, the gorilla that was killed when a young boy fell into his pen, and it looked like the gorilla was just kind of like cradling him, and not like attacking him, and the zookeeper has killed him because we obviously know that Harambe had information on Hillary Clinton and had to be assassinated. That's really what happened there. So he was the gorilla CIA agent that had information and had to be assassinated. And the internet lost their fucking minds over it. I don't understand the internet. Like, that needed like 2 seconds of like, okay, there's a gorilla. He may have been shot unnecessarily. Maybe something needs to, like, maybe the zoo director needs to write up the zookeeper that shot him. Maybe, maybe policies there at the zoo need to be addressed. It didn't really seem like it needed to be a big issue. And you have no control over it, so you don't need to worry about it. I was like, well, okay, well, that's, you know, whatever. I don't care. The Zika virus blew up. I mean, by blew up, I mean people were sharing it and scared of it. But and the government was taking unnecessary measures because of Zika that shouldn't have. Zika's been around for a long time, not really a big issue. It's not like the Spanish flu of 1912 or whatever. It's not like crazy lethal. It's not really a big issue. It's like, it'd be like the war on the common cold, for God's sake. Which, that's my prediction for 2017. The war on the common cold. Yeah, something stupid. There'll be something stupid, and then I'm sure, like, government will be doing something in the backgrounds that will be overshadowed by whatever stupid medical thing is blown up by the industry. The government's feeding you dihydrogen monoxide. They're evil. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, one of the things, just to touch on it real quick, one of the things, it was Florida. So, Zika virus is spread by mosquitoes. So, Florida had some pesticide they were spraying to kill all the mosquitoes to kill the Zika virus, because if you don't have mosquitoes to spread the Zika virus, you can't spread the Zika virus. But in like one bee colony, that spray they had for the mosquitoes killed like a billion bees in one colony, in one like bee orchard. I don't know what they're called. One beehive like that had like a billion bees on this bee farm. Died, and that's super scary. The thought of losing bees that pollinate all of the food we eat is terrifying. Because without bees to pollinate our food, you have to have a manual labor force manually pollinate all the plants by hand. Which, that would create jobs, but terrible ones. It's like picking oranges times a million. Fuck that job. Oh, I don't want no part of that. And I can only assume, since it would be such a critical task, it would be something shady. The government would like mandate it, and it would be like slave labor. Like there's no way it would be terrible, because obviously if you did not do it, mankind would die. So, yeah, fuck you, Zika virus. You make-believe bullshit, and fuck you, government, for being stupid. 2016 had a lot of riots. Like, a lot of riots. There were, I mean, the Ferguson, Missouri riots, all the Black Lives Matters riots. Every time a criminal was justifiably shot by a police officer, the people tore up those towns. Yeah, so if you get stopped being a criminal, more criminals will be criminals to tear up your neighborhoods. I don't get it either. Yeah, but so yeah, prediction, do I see more Black Lives Matters riots in the future? Yeah, I bet I do. Could this lead to a crackdown, like a martial law, because of all the riots? Yeah, probably. If you have people burning down cities and rioting, the government will have to step in at some point and deal with the issue. And about half the population, maybe more than half, that's being terrorized, that's, you know, seeing their cities, their neighborhoods burn, that are not the ones doing the burning, they're going to beg the government to step in. Martial law doesn't get instituted against people's will. It gets instituted by their plea. They will be begging for it. So, yeah, keep an eye on that. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in 2017, but I'm going to say when martial law is instituted, whenever that is, it's going to be because assholes and people, decent people, are going to beg for it. Just like what's going on with healthcare, that no one could afford it. I was going to say on a lighter note, you know, stepping away from riots and government crackdowns and martial laws. On a lighter note, no, on a somber note, on a much somber note, 2016 saw a lot of celebrities die. And I tried to sort of Google it. I tried to Google it, and it was one of those things where either my Google foo was off or there's just not a concise piece with the keywords I was looking for that would tell me this. I don't know if there has been a different year in recent history where more celebrities have died in a year span, but it seems like 2016 may take the cake. And I think one of the articles I saw was from the 60s on, we have produced more celebrities than we have so in the past. Therefore, you know, so David Bowie, you know, Prince, those guys came out, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. They were getting, you know, fairly up there in age. So a lot of those people that were older, they, old people tend to die. Not all of them were not that old, so it's doesn't really jive, but yeah, we have more celebrities now than we have in the past, and every year we will have more celebrities than we did in the past, so therefore there's a higher percentage of celebrities dying than there were before because there are more of them. If that makes sense. So 2016, and seeing them, you know, David Bowie, Prince, Alan Rickman, yeah, Hans Gruber himself, that one kind of hurt. I believe Alan Rickman was 2016 and not 2015, correct me if I'm wrong. Lemmy from Motorhead, recently, and this one was one of my sadder ones. Maybe tops for me. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia from Star Wars. Yeah. So, growing up, nothing was sexier than Slave Leia, and so when I found out, I went to go find a good picture of Slave Leia, Princess Leia, in the Slave Leia outfit when she was captured by Jabba the Hutt to share on Facebook as a rest in peace. And when I was searching for it, there was a picture posted from Twitter that was like, "For all you people looking for Slave Leia, the term you're looking for is General Ortana." Shut the fuck up. I am not looking for General Ortana. I know that. But I wanted to see Princess Leia. Which, by the way, and Serenity got onto me for, like, kind of snapping out about this. Slave Leia, so Leia, when she was captured on Jabba the Hutt, put in a slave outfit and chained up. She managed to single-handedly kill the galaxy's most powerful crime lord. Let that sink in. So, and she did it wearing a hot swimsuit. So, I'm sorry, but I am not looking for General Ortana. That day, I was definitely looking for Slave Leia. Yeah. So, and she didn't need to get rescued. She did it on her own. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think back in the 70s and the 80s, we knew how to make a good, strong female character without demasculating a male character. She stood on her own. She was strong. She was feisty. She did her own stuff. She rescued herself multiple times. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Leia. So, yeah. A lot of celebrities died. Kind of a sad year for that. Terrible. And as a sign that the apocalypse is near, my friends, the Cubs won the World Series. So, yeah. I don't follow sports balls. I don't, so I watch the CrossFit games every year, but I don't really pay attention to baseball, football, none of that. Any of that at all now. If I had to, I mean, just randomly, for some reason, Mike and I have always, unbeknownst to each other, so we picked these. Our favorite team is the Green Bay Packers. We don't watch football. We don't have, we really don't, like, have a dog in this fight. But for some odd reason, like, when we met each other, we had both randomly picked Green Bay Packers as our team. So, go Pack, go. So, maybe one year Mike and I will go to Lambeau Field and hang out with Jeff Radke and not watch the game. We'll shoot a YouTube video there or something. it'll be fun. So, personal 2016 recap. Aside from the sort of world news there, what happened in the survival punk world? I got a girlfriend right after Valentine's Day. We had been dating for a while. I went ahead and made it official, and she's still around. I am still confused by this fact myself. But she's stubborn, and I like her. So, hi, Serenity. I had a long-running writer's block. I wanted to put out more content. I couldn't focus. I couldn't sit down and work. The words wouldn't come out. It was crippling and terrible, and I hated it. And there was pretty much no blog posts written in most of 2015. Even the podcast wasn't always spot on in 2016. So, yeah, the blog posts was hardly – there was months where – God, there was like one month where I think one thing went out. There was one podcast in the whole month, and I'm like, James, you lazy sack of shit. You have – like – there are Survival Punk Army members that are literally paying for you to not do work. So I felt like shit, and that's kind of what led me to a couple things. The smart drugs that I started taking, different supplements or whatnot to get the brain focus up. They seem to have made a huge difference. Just sort of refocusing on the blog, and I'm a big proponent of getting enough sleep, but I would say a couple months ago, I actually drastically cut back my sleep and focused on basically making my coffee and then getting straight to blog work. And it's almost to the point where I'm like, I think I could use another hour. Like, I think I might need to cut sleep one more hour to get a little bit more done. I haven't quite done that yet. I went from sleeping about 9 or 10 hours and then just still feeling like tired and groggy to sleeping, I think now around 6 or 7 hours. And that gives me a lot more time to do stuff, to work on the blog, to respond to comments. This seems to be working out. I'm still thinking I need to cut it another hour or two, go to like 5 hours of sleep, but then I might need to up some of the smart drugs to compensate for the lack of sleep. And then there's like health issues. I don't know. But I'll figure it out. And I'm still like kicking around a massive, what I'm tentatively titling Drugs for the Apocalypse, which will be an all-encompassing, like, what drugs I think would have valuable uses for the apocalypse. It'll be a long one, and it will be in-depth and good. So also in 2016, I created the Survival Punks Facebook group, and I love that place. I've seen it grow tremendously. There are a lot of great people in there. Some of my best friends in the world are in that group. And I know that you guys have my back. When we had that funny Down with Survival Punks page pop up, you guys jumped in there and tore up that kid, which was good. It was fun. We all had a laugh until we didn't have a laugh, and then it got settled. The Survival Punks group, we do challenges. There's been a lot of good challenges. I really want to do a winter fall shelter building challenge. I do not want to go gather leaves. Like, it's been raining here in Tennessee for like a week or two now, and I'm going to damn near have to, like, my shelter building would be an ark. I have built an ark. I will take two of every animal with me on the ark. I don't want to. We don't have, like, it's not even been cold. Like, I haven't even turned on the heat today here in January, the 3rd today, January the 4th when you're listening. It's like 64 in here. I had to turn on my fans. There's one, like, Christmas Day was 70. So, yeah. Not a white Christmas, not a cold winter so far. I don't know if it's going to, like, come back with a vengeance or if it's just going to stay gross, like, in the, you know, 60s and wet. Like, I'm pretty sure in Tennessee we don't have winter often as much as we have, like, tsunami season. It's, like, mild and wet. So, congratulations that the Survival Punk podcast broke 100 episodes in 2016, which still kind of amazes me. As much as, like, the fact that people do indeed listen to the show kind of blows me away. Sometimes I'm like, there are people that listen to the show. And checking some stats at the end of the year, sort of around Christmas or so, since I started really tracking the stats, so since like June or so of 2016, we have had 12,000 downloads. 12,000. You know, for some big name podcasters, you know, like Jack Spirko or some of the other like huge, huge podcasters, not so much in the survival sphere. That's not that bad. That could be an episode, 12,000 in a day. For Mike and I, that's amazing. Still kind of blows me away. And it humbles me. Thank you so much for listening. Never thought that it would happen. I just knew that Mike and I, we are entertaining, at least to our friends and the people around us. They usually get a chuckle out of us. We both have really good memories and retain a lot of information and have a lot of random information. So, you know, we are both fans of podcasts, so we really wanted to do a podcast. We launched two podcasts around the same time, and we kept, like, the history of the Trial Punk podcast. We tried to do this show, or at least a show. Originally, we had tried to just do a straight comedy show, which the market for that would have been way bigger than Survival Punk. But yeah, we tried to do a few podcasts, and we tried it several times. Like, there's like all kinds of material laying around in various places of episodes that will never see the light of day. They're bad, you know. And then I struggle with and some of you are like, oh, I don't see that at all, James. I struggle with sort of like crippling perfectionism. Like, you know, there's like 7 or 8 like Cheryl Punk episode number ones that, you know, just basically hit the cutting room floor and never see the light of day because something went wrong here, something went wrong there, the audio wasn't perfect or this or that or whatever. And then it was, I think I instituted a policy of always publish the episode no matter what. And doing that, the show always comes out, whether the audio is bad, there's a glitch, doesn't matter, the show must go on. So that solved that. There's someone quoted, someone was just saying that perfectionism is the destroyer of the good, and it really is. So by focusing on being perfect, you will never put out good material. And good is good enough. So, put out good material. YouTube videos. I've started being more consistent with that. There used to be like a year, months in between. Now I put out a video every Tuesday. So, sometimes it's an unboxing video, sometimes it's a build video, sometimes it's a rant. But Tuesdays, there will be a new video out at some point in the morning, usually around 8 or 9. Every once in a while, I'll put up an extra video throughout the week when I have time. How are we coming on time, actually? 38 minutes. I need to probably hurry up. 2016 saw this lovely new audio. So, yeah, I had two people within about a week or so join the Survival Punk Army. And that was when I instituted, somewhere around there, maybe that instance, was when I instituted the rule of all money that comes to Survival Punk, so membership supports, advertising revenue, other, there's a lot of interesting ways to make money with a website, by the way. All that money must be reinvested into the blog. So I took that membership money and bought, after doing a lot of hours of research, and finally picked a mic, bought it, and now the audio sounds so much better. I love it. So yeah, new mic, and I've heard nothing but great things on how great the audio sounds. So, good investment, and it was under $100. So do not get a Blue Yeti Snowball microphone. Do not get the other blue microphone, the Blue Snowball or the Yeti. Don't get a blue microphone. Go to Amazon, get a Samson, I think it's Q2 microphone, a cardioid or something. Anyway, it sounds wonderful, and it will do all your podcasting needs. Do not get a blue one. I had one. That's what we did the first couple episodes of the show on, and the audio was meh. It was kind of omnidirectional. It would pick up everything. The cord ended up falling apart, and it was just not working. So I love this mic. The audio, I don't know if I mentioned this last year or this year. I don't remember when it happened, but Mike and I, we managed to hook up the electricity in the tiny house for real instead of running it on extension cords like it had been for probably a year, for many months, something like that. It was relatively easy. You know, we just hooked up my tiny house is wired like an RV, so it has an RV extension cord, and I just built a RV box out there and then ran it to the mains power line. All of that was actually super easy. The frustrating part was dealing with the idiots at Lowe's to get the parts I needed and going back and forth and back and forth. Yeah. Hooking up, Mike and I did it super easy. 2016 saw Couch Potato Mike get a logo. If you now go to couchpotatomike.com, you'll see the logo. The Couch Potato Mike fan page has one. It's looks just like Mike as a potato. It's amazing. So, and got that off of Fiverr. Highly recommend them for any work. I've had them do some logos for me in the past. I've had them do the new website redesign. 2016 saw the new website redesign. It's now more mobile friendly, and well, it looks good on mobile. It used to not. It's responsive. It works. A lot of the features that were sort of broke on the old theme, which just wasn't the Atahualpa theme, is not really. It's outdated and obsolete. It worked really good for a long time, and it was super highly customizable and easy to customize, and I like that. A lot of the new themes are not so much, and after fiddling and faddling with them for many hours, I said fuck it and hired a web designer, and they took about a month and pissed me off, and I fired them, and I hired another one, and she literally did everything I wanted in like 2 days. Like, one day she was like, bam, here you go. And I'm like, here are my revisions. The next day she was like, bam, here you go. Thank you. So, and I hired them both off of Fiverr. I don't remember what the lady's name was, or pretend lady. You never really know. It's internet people. I just know that she did a good job. The RW web design or something like that. Avoid them. Always read the reviews. Like, sometimes there'll be a bad one. You know, it's like, oh, it didn't work out. Well, maybe that customer is just an asshole. But if there's a lot of people that were like, had to cancel because they couldn't deliver in time, probably not a good idea to hire them. For the future, the tiny house will have running hot water very soon. I was hoping to have it done up in December, but parts and pieces and shipping delays and the gods of the universe, basically, it just didn't happen. So I have almost all the parts. I have a SureFlow, don't remember the model number, AC RV water pump, pressure switch. So when you turn on the faucet, it'll start pumping and pump out your water. And when you turn off it, it'll stop. So it's automatic. I like that. That was a different thing. And it's one of the quieter ones, the one that I got. Some of them can be really loud. I did not get the pressure tank that can help with hammering. I may add that at some point. It's like $40. And I was trying to get this knocked out. And I still didn't. But we'll see how it works. We'll see if it requires it or not. If I need to go ahead and add that in. So that's that. I've got an EcoTemp, I think it's a 110 on demand propane heater. So it runs off of like a D cell battery and propane, and heat your water up hot on demand. It's not supposed to be for inside use. I've seen other people in tiny houses and like off-grid cabins use them inside. I'm going to do it. I don't care. So it's, I've seen reviews and read them, and it's like, I think I got it for under $100 on Amazon Prime, free shipping. So good for that. And I've picked up a rain barrel locally. I use Craigslist for that. I'm thinking for the winter, I may actually not plumb the rain into it. Fill it up manually with the hose run from Mike's yard. Don't even ask me why I didn't just plug into his plumbing, because I want to use rainwater eventually. I'm just trying to get this hooked up fast. And in the winter, I may actually put the rain barrel inside with some like quick disconnects or something, or just have it able so I can take it out when the summer gets here. I'm having issues figuring out how to keep the rain barrel from freezing over winter and thus breaking all my pipes that I just installed. So not real sure. I'm still kind of thinking about it. Tennessee doesn't really have a lot of freezing cold days. We haven't had one in a month, I don't think, or several weeks, but it does freeze on occasion and stay cold for a couple days, and I don't want to have to replace pipes. So it's either that, or I'm going to put it outside, insulate it. Not 100% sure. Don't really know. I guess I could bury it, but I really don't want to do that either. I might have to. I don't know. If you have ideas, leave me a comment in the show notes. So yeah, hot running water, shower and bathroom and all that stuff will come later. I'm going to at first at least hook up the kitchen sink so I can do dishes and whatnot. That will be amazing. It will be amazing. And Serenity will be super happy about it. So she can brush her teeth and wash her hands 23 times an hour. After the rain catchment, the rain barrel, the running water system is all put in, the next big task will be, we've got two old sheds on the land here that I bought them years ago, and they're sort of dilapidated and used for storage, and one of them's filled with just trash and junk at this moment. I'm going to empty out one of them and convert it into a workshop, because I need one. I don't have space here in my tiny house for all of my tools and the building stuff and the things that I want to do, and it's kind of driving me crazy. It needs to be rectified soon. So that's next. After I get the running water, I got to build a workshop. I have to build one. I have to build stuff, and I can't. And it will help with a little bit of the storage issues in here, getting some of the tools and stuff out of the tiny house and into its own dedicated area. And we'll free up some space, and maybe I can store some like survival gear and stuff over there. The stuff that's not, you know, cold weather dependent. The, you know, sleeping sacks and stuff. So also for the year, I really like, I've not made a big push on promoting the podcast, which is stupid. And the growth has been relatively slow. We pick up some fairly loyal supporters this year. This year, has seen probably the biggest expansion on the podcast, which is awesome. I love that. If you search for a survival podcast, not the survival podcast, but if you go looking for a survival podcast on survival, it's kind of hard to find us. We're not really in like the first few pages of a Google search, which means we don't really exist. That's going to change. There's not a lot of active, still putting out content podcasts on survival. And there are a lot of people that like podcasts on survival. So I want them to be able to find us. Because you'll never be a fan if you don't even know we exist. So My goal is to get on the first page looking for survival podcast or survival podcasts or podcasts on survival. Obviously, Jack owns the Survival Podcast, and I am not the Survival Podcast. And if you listen to the show, you know we are not the Survival Podcast. We are a survival podcast, a podcast on survival. And, you know, there's obviously some audience layover, some crossover, some people that will enjoy both shows. Some people, and this has been the greatest compliment of 2016 for me, I've had several people say that they prefer the Survival Punk Podcast over the Survival Podcast. And that's the greatest compliment that I've had in my entire life. That show inspired me to do all of this. So, and I'm highly thankful for Jack for doing the show, for inspiring me and many others. And I'm certainly not trying to steal his wind. You know, there is plenty, more than enough people for all of us to have listeners. And every, you know, by God, listen to all of them. You find what works for you. You find, you know, you may find nuggets of information here, nuggets of information there. You take in all your information and assimilate it and make it your own. So, and like I said, there's a massive audience of people that are interested in survival that listen to podcasts, and there's not many of us that consistently and have over time put out information, put out episodes. There's a lot of people that put out a few episodes and they like basically quit. So there's definitely no shortage. Like the issue here, the bottleneck, is an actual podcast for consumers to listen to. So I just want them to find it. And I would love for you guys to share it. I know many of you do, and I appreciate that. So yeah, I'm going to start running some ads and stuff on it and some other like SEO behind the scenes things. So I'm tending to focus now more on longer length, more in-depth articles over shorter ones. So I put out a blog post, and I'm going to like start promoting the hell out of it because I put it out right before Christmas on homemade guns, like legality, how to, plans, all of that stuff, everything you need to know about homemade guns. And it was damn near 2,500 words, which is one of my longer articles, and I think it will rank eventually for the term homemade guns. There's not a lot out there, and so we'll see. And I'll start promoting it, and it's really well written, really well researched. Good post. So that's sort of the new thing. Instead of like shorter 300-word articles, they're going to probably be longer. I'm not going to fluff the article. I'm not going to fill it with bullshit in the bottom, like, oh, go buy this and this and this, you know, and like combine different things. It's going to be, if I'm going to write a 2,500-word article, it's going to deserve a 2,500-word article, and it's going to be compelling enough that you're going to want to read all of that. Otherwise, I'm wasting both of our times. So, yeah, look for that. Look for maybe a few less articles in the week, and the articles that are put out will be longer. If that's gonna do better for Google ranking and what the audience wants, you know, which is really like, you know, one, I need to rank better in Google for certain things, but I want to put out things that you want. I don't want to please the Google algorithm. I want to please the audience. Or, you know, I'm not gonna kiss anyone's ass. I'm gonna put out things that I like. Because I generally tend to put out content like I aim at, like my proto customer is me. I put out the things that I want so I can have them because they're not there. So, and people that have similarities to me that think certain things like me, they dig it. They dig it. So we had a lot of good guests this year, and I thought about writing them down. I didn't. We had, you know, JJ Flazanes. We had, lots of names eluded me. Sorry. I should have wrote these down. We had a lot of really great guests this year, but not a lot of really great guests on survival topics. We had a tactical episode with Lucas Apps, but I really want to bring in some like survival guests this year. Some big names, some famous people, some, that's my alarm to wake up, guys. Alarm number two anyway. So yeah, I want to bring in more celebrity, top-notch, quality survival guests. And not so like, we got a lot of really good nutrition fitness guests, but not a lot in the survival realm. So I'm going to try to switch gears and focus more on that this year. So we'll see. I felt that's been lacking, and I'm going to have to really go after that. Got a few more things I need to wrap up and go. One last thing. 2017, March, Survival Punk will turn 5 years old. 5 years ago, I started this, basically just to document and share some of the rantings I had. Some of the, you know, I was doing a lot of projects, and I wanted to share those. I wanted, you know, because I was telling my friends, and I'm like, oh, I made this thing, and I did this, and, you know, and I had all these ideas. And they're just like, oh, that's nice, James. That was cool, buddy. Whatever. And I knew that people would get a value out of it, and I had to tell people about it. I had to share what I was doing, even if it was a one-way conversation, even if I was just going to throw spaghetti against the wall and just let it sit there, you know. And 5 years later, I'm still doing it, and people are still listening, reading, watching, you know. People are still there. I still have some commenters and whatnot that read the blog that were there pretty much from the beginning. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. So, 5 years deserves a celebration, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but 5 years, I think I need to give away free shit. That's what happens, right? Anniversaries, free shit. And that's free shit for you, not free shit for me. Not really. I could get a lot of free stuff for review, and I don't really push it that hard. Maybe I should if I had more time. Maybe I need to cut back that 1 hour of sleep. Excuse me. But yeah, so I'm thinking one of two things. Either I'm going to contact a lot of sponsors and put together a top-of-the-line, high-quality bug-out bag, or I'm going to get a lot of smaller prizes and do like a month of prizes. Like, if I can get, you know, the more prizes, if I get 20 prizes, I will do a giveaway every single day of the month. If I do a bug-out bag, I will do one big giveaway. And so the rule of thumb, it like asking for things to give away for prizes, it's kind of hit or miss. Like I may send out like 100 emails to get one item, or I may send out, you know, like 10 emails and get like 5 or 6 items. It's kind of weird and kind of random. Some people are awesome and they'll throw in, other people like want to get some back because they want to make sure they're going to get, you know, value out of it. And other people will just ignore you. You'll get a lot of unopened, unanswered emails. It happens. You know, it happens. But I may get secondaries and tertiaries, you know, for prizes. So I may do a big grand prize, you know, of the top of the line stuff, and then maybe a second prize, depending on how many things I get. You know, basically, like, pick the 10 Seas of Survival, go contact sponsors that have items in that category and ask for one. And if I get multiples, like if I get three bags, I'll give away three bags. Or, you know, we'll see. Let me know in the comments what you would rather see. Would you rather see a huge grand prize, or would you rather see a lot of sort of daily giveaways? I know that I did that before once, and people loved it. So yeah, let me know. Grand prize or mini prize? And on that bombshell, not a huge disappointment, on that great bombshell, DIY to keep doing Sir Alpunk use, guys.